The federal government has agreed to develop a specific plan to address violence against Indigenous women and children. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner June Oscar and leading Indigenous academic Professor Marcia Langton both addressed the National Women's Safety Summit to highlight how the current Women's Safety Plan was failing Indigenous women. The Minister for Women's Safety, Anne Rustin, made this decision after speaking with members of the Indigenous panel.
And I heard loud and clear that the solutions for Indigenous women and children, particularly those in community, are going to require a whole heap of different initiatives and actions if we're going to make a difference. And so I'll be working with them to develop a plan that is specific and targeted to the needs of their women and children.
That's the Minister for Women's Safety, Anne Rustin. Well, Hannah McGlade is an Indigenous human rights lawyer. She's been calling for such a specific plan for some time now. Hannah McGlade, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Hannah, you've been wanting this. You've been calling for this for, I think, probably 6 years, I would say. The minister has now committed to one. What difference do you hope this will make to First Nation women and children?
Well, we have to get the policy and the planning right if we're going to address this horrific level of violence that Aboriginal women and children are facing in Australia, including a very high rate of murder. So we've also been calling for a national and, in West Australia, a state-based inquiry into murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls. But, yes, it's very critical, and several UN treaty bodies have recommended to Australia over the last few years that a separate national action plan is needed. And that advice wasn't heeded until this week's summit when Aboriginal women leaders put the minister on clear notice.
And explain for everyone listening why Indigenous women and children need a separate action plan to all women and children. I noted that when Marcia Langton addressed the summit, she talked about, you know, you can be at the table, that doesn't mean you're heard, you get spoken over. I mean, do you get talked over? You're a senior leading legal academic. Do you find that in places where you are?
It's absolutely true. I also represent Indigenous people on the UN Permanent Forum for Indigenous Issues, and I'm still spoken over constantly, including by people, who are not my equals at all, non-Indigenous people. This kind of racism and bias and prejudice is extremely common in Australia. The research is showing this unconscious bias and stereotype affecting 3 out of 4 Australians, higher in West Australia and Queensland. We're simply not tackling racism in this country, although we're now making some announcements about addressing systemic and structural discrimination under Closing the Gap. We're not doing the hard work, and Aboriginal people are saying, in fact, it's getting worse.
So let's go to this notion again of, you know, June Oscar's comment, the plan does not work for Indigenous women. Marcia Langton talked about, you know, some of the elements of why the existing plan doesn't work. What needs to be different if we're developing a plan to keep Indigenous women and children safe?
Well, we have to make sure that responses exist, that they are culturally appropriate and culturally safe, designed and delivered by Indigenous women. That's not currently the case. In the capital city of Perth, where I live, there is no Indigenous women culturally specific healing program for violence, notwithstanding that the rate of murder of Aboriginal mothers here is 17.5 times more likely than a non-Aboriginal mother. So the programs don't exist. The early intervention and prevention programs with young people to stop the violence don't exist. And we know that exposure to early violence puts women, girls on a course of being a victim. For boys, it can increase their likelihood of being a perpetrator. So we need these programs based in culture to prevent the violence. We need the healing support for the women victims. We need the men's programs. And we need to address racism in the legal system, from the policing, the prosecution, to the courts, where in fact it might make it to the court, because we know that many Aboriginal women never see that light of justice at all. So that's just a few things. But we've also got a problem of racism in the media. It's a very serious problem.
So what do you mean by that? How does racism in the media, as you say, is reflected when it comes to the safety of Indigenous women and girls?
Well, what we're seeing in some very high-profile cases involving non-Aboriginal men involved in the killings of Aboriginal women, that there's a not the kind of profiling that you would see, mm-hmm. Or even where there is an Aboriginal male perpetrator. So we're seeing cases that are just so shocking, where even children are murdered in a terrible way, where women, pregnant women might be killed, where women are raped to death on a beach, Aboriginal women. And, you know, where there's white men involved, particularly we'll see a bias, a sympathy, more likelihood of a support to his claim of being innocent. You know, we've got juries that are full of non-Indigenous people hearing these crimes when they do make it there. We know with the crime of against Lynette Daly, who was raped to death on a beach by two white men in New South Wales, that actually the prosecution was not even going to take those men to court and charge them until there was actually a media campaign there. But we do know there is racism against Aboriginal victims. We're seeing it in the media, and it can result in a miscarriage of justice to the victim and Aboriginal people.
And you have the same concern if an Aboriginal woman is murdered by an Aboriginal man. Are the issues, is the treatment different then?
Yes, there are cases. Tamika Mullaly's case in the murder of baby Charlie. Tamika was treated as a perpetrator when she was actually found stripped naked, bleeding and beaten on the streets in Broome. Her child was murdered, abducted and murdered by the perpetrator. The police assaulted Tamika, went after her, charged her because she wanted to be left alone. She didn't have a clothes on. She wanted her father and family to help her. And they put a police car outside the hospital to watch her all night while her child was being abducted and then killed. And that kind of racism was not shown across Australia as it should have been, in the same light that the killing of Rosie Batty's son was. And it wasn't until actually the documentary See What You Made Me Do happened that her case was, fully exposed to the Australian public.
So you've been calling for an inquiry into murdered and missing Aboriginal women and girls in WA. The Shadow Indigenous Affairs Minister, Linda Burney, wants to make that national. This is separate to this national plan that we're talking about now being developed for to stop violence against Indigenous women and children. You want a specific murder inquiry.
Yes, we do. We need both of these things to happen. There are so many Aboriginal women and children's lives being absolutely blighted by a horrific level of violence. It does need as much attention as it can possibly get. We know this has been ongoing since colonisation and frontier, where white men could kill Aboriginal women, rape and murder them with impunity. And that situation went on a very long time, and we're still battling this fundamental bias in the legal system. It's not being tackled, and across society as a whole, not treating Aboriginal women, as equal citizens and people with human rights. So, yes, we need as much attention on this as absolutely we can have.
And just dealing with the issue of domestic violence, family violence, where we know the violence against Indigenous women, the violence rates and the hospitalisation rates from that violence are so much higher than against non-Indigenous women. But, you know, overall, all of them unacceptable completely. You talked about, we need to make sure the responses exist. To what extent does structural racism affect how law enforcement and the courts engage with Indigenous women in the context of family violence? So this is, violence at the hands maybe of a black partner, a black husband, a black brother. Where does that structural racism, present itself? What needs to change?
Oh, it's absolutely inherent and deeply imbued in the legal system and throughout society. And that's because, we certainly haven't tackled it. This country was founded on racist violence. We've just heard about appointment to the Human Rights Commission of a person against Aboriginal human rights and against international human rights law, which recognises Indigenous people's rights. So it's absolutely throughout. And we really aren't looking at the issue. We have evidence of racism in policing, mm-hmm. racial profiling. It's being ignored. We have Aboriginal deaths in custody. We have an Aboriginal woman in West Australia who was shot dead by a police officer facing a murder trial soon. This is, the absolute nature of what's going on, and it is part and parcel of why we can't do anything about bringing down this level of violence.
And Hania Marcia Langton referred to this too in her address, this misunderstanding by the courts and the police, or misunderstanding is perhaps too soft a word, of the role women play within an incident sometimes, that somehow it's the woman who ends up being punished often when in fact the violence has been perpetrated against them for such a long time. It's a misunderstanding of Indigenous communities, really. Can you talk to me about that?
Yes, sure. So Aboriginal women, it's well known, will fight back when violence is being used against them. And unfortunately, because we're not tackling racism, we're not tackling stereotypes and myths, for example, that Aboriginal women are angry black women and undeserving women, not equal, you know, they're seen as a perpetrator, basically, even when they're the victim. So this misidentification of the perpetrator is a real problem, and it's one of the issues why Aboriginal women are concerned about proposals for new laws, coercive control. We don't want any more Aboriginal women wrongfully targeted. Aboriginal women who have defended themselves and killed in self-defence, such as Jodie Gore, have been incarcerated for murder with no one blinking an eye about the you know, the horrific violence that they experienced in that white courtroom. What we are seeing is actually Indigenous femicide. This is not accidental. This is the logic of Australia's settler society continuing to perpetrate this kind of violence, systemic and structural violence against Indigenous women and children.
Hannah McGlade, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Hannah McGlade is an Indigenous human rights lawyer, and she's been campaigning on these issues for many, many years. If this interview has raised issues for you or any of those close to you, you can contact Family and Domestic Violence Support. 1-800-RESPECT is the national helpline. That's 1-800-737-732. And the Women's Crisis Line is 1-800-811-811.